episode end with Dr. Livingston, Dr. Space, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot, and we're headed to Vostochny. We're headed to the Baikonur Cosmodrome. We're headed to Roscosmos, thanks to Anatol Zak, who keeps the subscription site Russian Space Web. I highly recommend it. We're watching the world's oldest manned space program recover from the blows of sanctioning over the last more than year of the war in Ukraine. And there's an event that used to be routine and is now exceptional, which is the launch of a Soyuz carrying satellites. Anatoly, a very good evening to you. Meteor M series launched by a Soyuz from, I believe this is, it looks like Vostochny, not Baikonur. Is that correct?
That was, mm-hmm.
And it carried small sats. And to my knowledge, that is unusual for Russia. What is this launch meant to represent? Good evening to you.
Hello, John, David. Yes, this is quite an interesting launch because it's a first commercial cluster launch, as they call it, because it carries one primary payload, which is the heaviest, which is around 3-ton satellite, weather satellite. And at the same time, there are 42 very small payloads on board. They're so-called Pico satellites or mini satellites, as they call them alternatively. And these are mostly supposed to be, normally, this whole project was run to sell this extra mass, which Soyuz rocket can deliver, to commercial customers. But of course, problem was in the past 2 years that Roscosmos essentially lost most of the Western customers, which were, let's say, 80-90% of all customers which were buying this this mass. And now this is the first kind of major launch with this cluster mission, where they tried to sell to universities inside Russia, and also some of the countries which are still doing business with Russia, which is, in this case, it's one satellite from Belarus and one from United Arab Emirates. Satellites are very diverse. They're all small. They're all just a few kilos. But they're very diverse. They're mostly experimental, and they're mostly educational. Essentially, they're designed to test new technologies and kind of teach students how to build spacecraft technology. Interestingly, kind of ironically enough, they're all based on so-called CubeSat standard, which is, of course, the Western standard, which was developed exactly for this purpose. And it's very widely adopted inside Russia by Russian-based universities, and students love it. And it's very allows to essentially modular design. It's, you imagine the small cubes, which you can connect several cubes together and build satellites of different sizes. They're all small normally, but size still varies. You can connect 4 cubes, 6 cubes, and that kind of cluster was carried on this mission.
Mr. Dr. Space, you have a question for Anatoly.
Anatoly, have any of these Russian many CubeSats been flown yet, or will this be the first time they're flown and space tested?
It's not in the it's not for the first time, but it's the first time where there are so many are launched at the same time. Usually they would, every university would launch one, two. They would have together, several universities would kind of bunch together and launch 5, 6. It's the first time they have 42, and only two of them from Belarus and from United Arab Emirates. Absolute majority of them are actually supplied by Russia. We should say that this program essentially funded by the Russian government. So it's essentially a kind of educational/ training program, which is funded, subsidized by the government, but implemented by those universities and companies which work with them, and students, of course, and professors who work there.
Featured on your wonderful site is Luna Globe, also called Luna 25. It is a moon lander, not a rover, a lander that is meant to explore the moon's surface down to, I believe, a half meter or a meter. This project underway for many years. It also has cameras on board. What else is it meant to provide, and where are they experiment? Where are they identifying a landing site?
So yes, the lander is quite interesting. It's actually roots back to 1990s. That's when development of this spacecraft started, and it was going on for many years. It's several decades behind schedule, but it's finally was completed this year. And there are still some a few tweaks and a few bugs which they have to root out, and it's expected to be delivered to Baikonur within a few days. And if everything goes right, it will launch on August 11. It will be, if it's launched successfully, it will be first Russian mission essentially since 1976, so it's almost 40 years. Will be the first mission going to land in a polar region, very high latitude region of the moon, which had never been explored by landing missions. And the primary purpose of it, very interesting purpose both for science and for future space exploration, is to try to find evidence of water on the moon. We already know, of course, by remote methods, that there is some water on the moon. But it's the first attempt kind of to touch it physically, to actually do an experiment where there will be special mechanical robotic arm, which will take the sample of the soil, load it into a special mechanism, and there will be a spectrometer on board, which will do chemical analysis of this soil. And hopefully, the main hope is to actually detect this water directly. And of course, this would be a huge discovery because that is extremely, first of all, important for the understanding of the geological history of the moon. But of course, also if we want to explore the moon and use its resources, this would be a huge discovery because it would confirm essentially that this water is there, that it could be touched, that it could be harvested, could be mined in the future. And even, of course, we have ideas now that even special so-called gas stations could be built on the moon where water would be broken into the hydrogen and oxygen and used as a propellant for future vehicles, which will land on the moon and maybe get propellant there. David, so that's a very interesting project.
David?
Is the arm on this craft similar to the Canadian arm on the ISS? Is it supposed to do similar kinds of things and have similar capabilities? Can you elaborate?
Yes and no. So essentially, yes, it has two limbs. Essentially, it has an elbow. It's very similar to human arm, right? It has two limbs and it has a wrist. However, unlike the robotic arm on the space station, where you have the special interface to grab objects which have special protrusions, special interfaces designed for the arm, this one will have a scoop. It will have a scoop and a special penetrator. So it will rotate this so it doesn't have anything to connect to, but it can use the scoop to pick up the pieces of soil, the dust or little rocks, and load it into the spectrometer instrument, which is on board. So that's one function. And the second function, it can kind of rotate that tool. And on another side, there will be kind of the penetrating tool, which will be used to kind of bump into soil and kind of do experiment how hard the soil is and what's the kind of physical properties of the so-called regolith, this material which is surface is made of.
From what I understand from your site, Russian Space Web, there are lots of illustrations. This mission is focused entirely on finding evidence of water. It has an infrared camera on board. It has the lab test that you just evidenced, and it's landing at the South Pole or the North Pole. I didn't quite understand that, Anatole.
It's not going exactly to the pole, but it will be very close. It's a southern pole region. It's, I think, in latitude degrees, it's around 60 degrees of latitude. So if we go pole, it would be 90 degrees. So it's almost like two-thirds. Right. To the polar region. It's enough. It's kind of far enough to the South Pole that the sun will come up into this region very low. It will only like 15-20 degrees over the horizon. So the solar panels of the spacecraft designed to be vertical. If you look at the picture of the spacecraft, you will see that it has this vertical design. because sun will not come up very very high in this area. And the spacecraft designed to operate for 1 year, so it needs to survive several lunar nights. So it has a special nuclear source which will provide heating to the system, so they are not frozen during very very harsh conditions during the lunar night.
Anatoly Zak is the master controller of Russian Space Web, a subscription site I highly recommend. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. This is Hotel Mars awaiting the launch of Luna Globe, a.k.a. Luna 25, from Baikonur, the Cosmodrome in Kazakhstan. This is CBS Eye on the World, Hotel Mars, Episode N. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.